Hey, welcome to Hope City's podcast. We're so excited that you chose to listen to us, and we hope you enjoy today's message.
Let's dive into the message today. We are finishing up our sermon series on Matthew 13 today. It's called Treasure Hunt, and today's the last message in Treasure Hunt, and it was a short one. But it has been good. So if you have missed any of the last 3 weeks, make sure, well, you didn't miss today, so check. If you missed any of the 2 weeks before that, make sure that you head to our website and get caught up because, man, Pastor Paula challenged us. First, she challenged us to be willing to give up our entire lives in pursuit of Jesus. And then last week, she talked about casting a wide net and how, our job is to reach anyone and everyone with the good news of Jesus. Some will stay and some will go, but that's not our job. Our job is to cast the net and to let Jesus do the rest. And so today, we're finishing up our sermon series with a message called Now Go. And that is our theme for 2025, is Now Go. And in classic Jesus fashion, this theme has just been infiltrating every aspect of our lives as we say yes. So if you're sitting in this room and you're like, it's not infiltrating every part of my life, my encouragement to you is, are you saying yes? Because the invitation is there. And there are plenty of people in this room who have experienced the invitation of Jesus over these last few months to give up everything and now go. Our theme verse this year comes out of Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. Jesus is talking, and it's one of his last commands that he gives before he goes up to heaven. And he says, "All authority on heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to follow everything I have commanded, and be sure of this, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." Jesus, in that Matthew chapter 28, commands us to now go. Do you have your Bibles with you this morning? All right, get them out. We're going to go through our Bible declaration, and we are just, in this year, we are just making a stand. We're making a statement that this is the Word of God, that what it says is true, and that our life will be modeled after the words in this book. So, everyone say this with me, repeat after me. This is my Bible. It is the very Word of God. Every word in this book is true. Inside this book is the very direction for my life. And I choose to follow it. This is my Bible, and I love it. Amen. All right. Our key passage today, we're reading the rest of chapter 13 in Matthew. And so we're going to be starting in verse 53. And reading through verse 58, and we're going to go ahead and read that together. It says, when Jesus, not together, I'm going to read it to you. Sometimes directions aren't clear, and it makes you feel like a fool. So I'm not going to do that to you this morning. I'm going to read. You guys follow along, okay? When Jesus had finished telling these stories and illustrations, he left that part of the country. He returned to Nazareth, his hometown. When he taught there in the synagogue, everyone was amazed and said, "Where does he get this wisdom and the power to do miracles?" Then something switched. Then they scoffed. "He's just the carpenter's son. And we know Mary, his mother, and his brothers, James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas, and his sisters live right here among us. Where did he learn all these things?" Then they were deeply offended and refused to believe him. Then Jesus told them, A prophet is honored everywhere except his hometown and among his own family. And so he did only a few miracles there because of their unbelief. Now, we read this and we can be like, oh my goodness, like not Jesus. And the truth is, we've seen this very principle played out in our own lives. Your sibling, I want you to think about your sibling for a second. Your sibling could be a renowned comedian. They could be the funniest person that there ever was. They could be viral on every social media platform that there is, and they are still not funny to you. Am I right? Their jokes are not that funny, and we don't quite understand why everyone's laughing. Your children, if you're a parent in the room, they will never care if you're a big deal. It doesn't matter how high on the corporate ladder you climb. It doesn't matter how many people you have reporting to you. It doesn't matter if you are the president of the United States. Your child still thinks that you have lame dad jokes. And you are still the mom who grounded them last week. Right? In our own family and in our own hometown, we may never be accepted for what the rest of the world accepts us as. And we've seen that play out. We've seen that time and time again in our own lives be true. I was at an event last year, and one of the people that was helping us out at the event was a pretty big deal on social media. Lots and lots of followers. Everyone knew who he was. And it didn't take very long at this event before everyone wanted a picture. Everyone wanted an autograph. Everyone was lining up. Everyone was like, oh my gosh, did you see who's here? And there was a buzz around the whole event. And one of my good friends walked up to me and stood next to me and just kind of chuckled. And I looked at him, and what I knew to be true is that about 10 years before this, my friend and this influencer were roommates. Before he had a single follower on any social media platform, they lived together. And he just kind of laughed next to me, and he's like, all these people are like so awestruck and can't believe it. And all I see is my goofy roommate who needs to do his dishes. And I laughed, but it's true, right? That when we see people, when we grow up with people, when we know them, they're not such a big deal to us. They're just the person that we've always known. And then we read this passage and we're like, yeah, but not Jesus. Jesus was the Son of God. Jesus was a big deal. How could they not see Jesus and not know what a big deal he was? How could this possibly be? N.T. Wright says it really good. He says that part of the whole point of the gospel, the good news of Jesus, is that Jesus wasn't an exception. He was and is one of us. Jesus didn't get to be an exception to the rule that we've seen played out in our lives. Jesus' command to now go would be a lot easier if the people that we're sharing with, that we're talking to Jesus about, are soaking up every word that we say. It would be a lot easier if they find Jesus, their life is transformed, and they give their whole life to him, right? Then it's easy to now go. That's when it's the easiest, is when people are soaking up every word of it and they want to go and do as Jesus did. But like Pastor Paula said last week, it won't always be like that. We're going to experience times where we go and share Jesus with people, and their response is less than what we hoped for. Where they don't believe, where they struggle with what we're saying. Our job is to cast the net. It's not based on how they respond. Jesus teaches us some principles in this passage that are cornerstone, they're fundamental, they're key to our mission to now go. Every single one of us has the mission. We are partnered with God on his mission, so therefore it becomes our mission to now go. Here's some three principles that Jesus teaches us through this passage. The first is this: our obedience to Jesus' command to now go is not determined by human reaction. We don't decide whether we're going to go or stop telling people about Jesus based on how they respond to the message that we're giving. Verse 55 says this, it says, "Then they scoffed. He's just the carpenter's son." And we know Mary, his mother and brothers, James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas, and his sisters live right here among us. Where did he learn all these things? And they were deeply offended and refused to believe him. Guys, this is Jesus, the Savior of the world. And the people that should have been his biggest supporters, the people that should have had his back till the end, are scoffing at him and refusing to believe. Imagine what would have happened if Jesus would have stopped. If he would have gotten discouraged by this reaction. Imagine if Jesus would have said, maybe they're right. Maybe I should just stop. Maybe I should just go home. Maybe I should just keep this to myself. What if Jesus would have stopped ministering based on human reaction? Jesus wasn't the exception here. He was fully human. He got discouraged. He experienced all of the human emotions. And when this reaction was given to him, when people were making fun of him, not believing in him, he had a choice to make. Am I going to listen to these people? My people, the people who know me and that I've been raised around? Or am I going to listen to the voice of my Father? The same choice is given to you this morning. When you deliver Jesus' good news, and I'm not going to say if, I'm going to say when, someone doesn't take it, when someone laughs, when they refuse to believe, when they make fun of you, are you going to listen to the voice of your Father, or are you going to listen to human reaction? Guys, Jesus' command in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, is not contingent on whether people in your life love what you have to say and fully support you. Matthew 28 doesn't say, if everyone is in agreement and they love you and love what you're saying, then go into all the world. It doesn't say, go into all the world until people are tired of you and then stop. Our command is not determined by how people respond to the invitation. I think that's part of the reason for verse 20. Verse 20 in Matthew 28 says, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Yeah, Jesus, I want you to be with me when I give your gospel and people love it and they come to know you and allow you to transform their life. I want you to be with me. But God, I need you to be with me when people laugh, when people refuse to believe, when people tell me I'm crazy, when they say I'm out of my mind, when they say it's fake, when they say this God that you're, it's all made up in your mind. I need you to be with me because in that moment, I'm going to be listening to the voice of my Father and not the voice of human reaction, and I need you to be with me. Our job is to listen and obey the voice of God and his command to go and spread his good news everywhere we go, even when people don't like it or approve of it. I believe that there's one giant trap that could have crippled Jesus and kept him from his mission if he would have partnered with it. And that trap is people-pleasing. The second lesson that Jesus demonstrates is that God's voice should always matter more than the voice of others. Are you guys ready? I'm gonna go in on you, but I love you, right? So like if you're the type that gets offended easily, choose not to. If you're the type that doesn't like your toes to get stepped on, move them back, because I'm going in and I love you. And also, I'm preaching to myself so hard right now, okay? So we're all in this together. I'm here listening to it with you, but I am gonna face you when I say this. If people-pleasing or the fear of man is getting in the way of you walking out what God has called you to, it's an idol in your life. I love you, and I love you enough to tell you that the idol of people-pleasing, the idol of fear of man, a fear of what people think, a fear of what people say, must come down in your life. Sheree, how could you say that it's an idol? Nothing is an idol. I don't have any idols in my life. Okay, but like, if you care more about what people are thinking about you, saying about you, how they might respond, whether they're impressed with you or not, you care more about that than you care about what God has asked you to do, then what's higher? People pleasing or God? The definition of an idol is something that's above God in your life. So if you care more about what they think than about what God's told you to do, I'm sorry to break it to you, but it's an idol. It has to come down. I told you I'm preaching to myself this morning. Many of you know that this is something that God's been working on me. He's been working on me for at least 2 years. Consistently. It's taking a long time to come down. But tenacity is important. I'm not stopping until it's all the way down. Notice I said it's taking a long time, not it's taken. It's taking a long time to come down in my life. I'm not stopping until it's all the way down. Proverbs 29, verse 25 says, fearing people is a dangerous trap, but trusting the Lord means safety. People-pleasing and fear of man might not sound like the same thing, but they are. You're afraid of what people might think. You're afraid of what they will say. Afraid of how they will view you or treat you or say behind your back. You're worried about whether they're impressed with you or not. Until fear comes down in our lives, there will be a barrier between what God has asked of you and your full obedience. You cannot possibly give God your full obedience while you still are afraid of what people think, say, and talk about you. I know that this is a hard thing. And you might be thinking, well, I recognize it in my life, but I don't know how to make it come down. Yep, I was there. You have to ask Jesus to make you aware of it. Ask him to make you aware of every time that you're making a decision based on your reputation. Ask him to make you aware of every time that you're spending your brain space on what others think about you, whether they're going to be upset with you or not, what their response is going to be. God, point it out. Every time I'm making a decision or spending brain space on other people's thoughts of me, show me. Because only When you are aware of it, can you choose a different way? I was recently introduced to a question that I am learning to love. We weren't even talking about this topic. We were talking about generosity, but it fits so well in this context as well. And here's a question that I'd like for you to ask yourself. Are my actions, thoughts, and decisions bringing me glory or bringing God glory? If you're going to ask the question, be ready for him to answer you. Because if the move you are making makes you look good, makes people like you more, or think higher of you, it's probably the result of people pleasing, which brings you glory and not God glory. If you are willing to ask God to highlight this area in your life, he will. So get ready. But it only starts coming down as you choose to stop in the moment, recognize when he reveals to you that you're making choices based on people pleasing, and choose to go a different way. I told you that it's coming down in my life, right? Here's something that has helped me. Sharing that it's a problem has helped me. And at first, I started with just sharing it with my mentors and the people closest to me. And guess what? When people have permission to speak into my life, to speak into your life, and are aware of what God is talking to you about and trying to bring down in your life, they now have permission to call it out when they see it. And let me tell you, they did. And they did it with all the love in their heart and with a smile on their face. More than once, I was asked, is this people pleasing? And my initial reaction was, how dare you? And then my second reaction was, you're right. And probably the reason for the first reaction was because I knew the answer to the second question was, yeah, it is. See, because people pleasing was allowed to get as big as it did in my life because it was a blind spot. And if you don't have people in your life that have access to 360 you, then they can't call out your blind spots. They can't help you to see when the very thing that God is asking to come down in you needs a little bit of attention. Because it was so easy for me to just go about it, people pleasing, and doing what I thought would make other people happy. Until I had an army of people around me that were united on coming together so that this thing could come down in my life. And then they were able to say, hey, you're people-pleasing showing. I see it. I needed that. I still need that. So my question to you this morning is, who's doing that for you? And if you're like, oh, I'm good. Me and Jesus, Jesus will tell me. All I need is Jesus. He's my mentor. Get them back again. Here I go. You might have a pride issue. Because if nobody else is allowed access to the things that you're struggling with, if nobody else is allowed access to the things that make you look weak or like you make you look like you might need Jesus, pride is an issue in your life. And now that needs to come down. It's really easy to read our Bibles and think about idols as melted jewelry in the shape of an animal. But today in 2025 in the United States, if you go outside these borders, they're still animals and they're still gold. But in this, in the United States, in our church, idols look a little different. Idols look like people pleasing. They look like pride. They look like fear. Idols look like the things that you're giving access to above God. And yes, they are a struggle. Yes, they are things we're struggling with. Yes, they're things we're bringing to God. And also, they're things you're putting above God. And they have to come down. Okay, back to my passage. Freebie! The last thing that Jesus teaches us through this passage is not actually even directly stated in this passage. You have to jump around in the Gospels to get the full picture, and so we're going to do it. And I need your help, because I'm going to nerd out for a minute, and you guys know that I do this, and so I need you to match my energy. So at the end, I'm going to talk about Acts 1, and it's really exciting, and I need you to get excited, okay? Don't let me down, because we can nerd out together. And if nerding out over the Bible doesn't give you quite the excitement that it gives me, just roll with me here, okay? All right, all right. And that's not people pleasing. I'm gonna say it no matter what, even if you guys don't get excited. Jesus didn't stop being who he was just because the people in his hometown doubted him. He kept being who God called him to be. And guess what? His words planted seeds of the gospel everywhere he went. Even Nazareth, his hometown, seeds were planted. Everywhere that Jesus shared the good news, seeds went out. He casted as wide a net as he could. And the last thing he taught us in this chapter, in this section, was you never know the seeds you plant that will someday grow. Because when we read this passage, it seemed like Jesus threw out some seeds and they fell on ground that was not ever going to reap a harvest, that was not ever going to grow anything, that was never going to take root. That's what it looks like when we look at this passage all by itself. And there's passages to back up the things we're saying. Let's start in John chapter 7, verses 2 through 5. It explains to us that even Jesus' own brothers doubted him. But soon it was time for the Jewish festival of shelters, and Jesus' brothers said to him, "Leave here and go to Judea, where your followers can see your miracles. You can't become famous if you hide like this. If you can do such wonderful things, show yourself to the world." For even his brothers didn't believe him. I would think that it would be easy to be discouraged in this moment if you were Jesus. These are my brothers. Not even my brothers believe that I'm sent by God. We have the same mom and dad. Actual angels came to mom and dad and told them that I was the Son of God, and my brothers still don't believe who I am. It would be pretty easy in this moment for Jesus to say they're probably right. Mark chapter 3, verses 20 and 21 explain that Jesus' family at one point thought that he was out of his mind. He was actually crazy. It says, "One time Jesus entered a house and the crowds began to gather again. Soon he and his disciples couldn't even find time to eat. When his family heard what was happening, they tried to take him away. 'He's out of his mind,' they said." But Jesus couldn't stop. He couldn't stop to worry about the thoughts of his family. He couldn't stop to worry about assuring everyone that he was who he said that he was. He couldn't find time to stop and explain to people that he wasn't crazy, he wasn't out of his mind. He was on mission. He had a mission from his father, and that was what he had to go after. He didn't have time for anything else. Are you guys ready? But then jump to Acts chapter 1. Verses 12 through 14, Jesus, here's the backstory here. Jesus had just ascended to heaven, so he had died, He had resurrected. He appeared to some of his followers, and then he ascended to heaven. And he told his followers, he said, don't go yet. Wait for the Holy Spirit. Wait here for the Holy Spirit to come, and the Holy Spirit will empower you with boldness to go and reach the ends of the earth. Okay? That was in the first few verses. Now we jump into verse 12, and it says, then the apostles returned to Jerusalem from the Mount of Olives, a distance of a half a mile. When they arrived, they went to the upstairs room of the house where they were staying. Here are the names of those who were present. Peter, John, James, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas, son of James. They all met together and were constantly united in prayer, along with Mary, the mother of Jesus, several other women, and the brothers of Jesus. Did you catch that? Who was constantly united in prayer? Who was in the upper room waiting for Holy Spirit? The very people that told Jesus that they didn't believe in him, the very people that said, no, you're just the kid from down the street. You're just our brother. We don't believe you. Those are the people that are sitting in the upper room, praying, waiting for Holy Spirit. You never know when the seeds you plant might take root and spring up. Jesus was already back in heaven by the time that his brothers were united in prayer and getting ready to be sent out to tell everyone about their brother. It's not our job to decide who gets the good news. Our job is to be obedient to the voice of our Father and allow him to do the work. Because we never know what's going to take root and when it's going to take root. Your only job is to be obedient and cast a wide net. I think I would be mistaken if I gave a sermon about now go, about casting a wide net, about planting the seed, and I didn't give an opportunity for you to say yes to Jesus. If you're in this room and you're thinking, man, I don't know that Jesus is in the number one slot in my life. I think that there's quite a few things that are above Jesus in my life. I think I'm above Jesus in my life. I make my own decisions. I do what's best for me. Maybe at one point Jesus was the Lord of your life. And by Lord, I just mean top priority. He was the top priority in your life. But he's not anymore. Today, if you can relate to that, and you maybe feel even a tug on in your chest, maybe your heart's beating a little fast, or maybe you feel something inside of you saying, yeah, that's it. I've felt that before. I've felt that. That's it. You have a choice. Because that's who God is. He's a God of choices. And if today you want to say yes to Jesus, yes to him being the number one authority and priority in your life, will you just raise up your hand? Yeah, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Come on, that's exciting. That's exciting, 7. It's exciting because I know what a lot of people clapping in this room know. And that's the best decision you could ever make. And that it has the power to change your life forever. Now, notice I didn't say that saying yes today will change your life forever. It has the power to. Every day from here on out is another yes. It's another opportunity to say yes to Jesus. And when you say yes to Jesus, day after day after day, then it transforms your life.
Thank you again for joining us. We want to give a special shout out to those who pour into the mission here at Hope City. If you want to give to what we're doing, you can find us at myhopecity.church/give. Again, we are so excited that you chose to join us, and we hope you have a great rest of your day.